Blog Talk Radio.
All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I am your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory on Blog Talk Radio, on Truth, or this platform called Truth on Blog Talk Radio. So it is good to be here one more time, that we are blessed to be in the land of the living, to be able to declare the word of the Lord. And so we'd like to welcome you again to Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. And I'd like to welcome all my LinkedIn connections, all of my Facebook friends, all of my Blog Talk friends, and all of my Twitter followers, and also my Instagram followers. And so should you be listening to this on demand, we welcome you. So today, September the 10th, 2019, at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Should you be listening live, you are welcome. If you have you're welcome to call in. Should you have a question, should you have a comment, you are welcome to call. And our call-in number is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. 929-477-2285. Should you have a comment, should you have a question, you are welcome to Truth Ministry. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that they may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. So that was one of the psalmists wrote in the 111th Psalm. So This is who we're talking about. We are declaring the word of the Lord. So it's not by might nor by power, Zechariah 4 and 6, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So St. John 6 to 63 says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profited nothing. The master himself said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So we want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And under every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And so thank God, as we say in our intro, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So we thank God for the grace of God. And he also says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So he goes on here to say, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we have to realize, really bear in mind, this epistle was written to Gentiles when he wrote to the church, the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus. So thank God, St. Paul, who is the apostle to the Gentiles, always had an encouraging word, because he realized that he was the least of all saints to be granted or to be take part in the grace of God, because he said what he did when he wrote to his son Timothy in the gospel, that he was the least of all saints. And so, and what he did, he said I thank my God for to his glorious gospel, he says, of the blessed God which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, that he counted me worthy, he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before, so this was his testimony, a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. So he goes on to say, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So he goes on, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So this is Apostle Paul's testimony as he was writing to his son in the gospel, the bishop Timothy, and setting things in order. And so he always had a word of encouragement. He didn't beat nobody down. And so even as we were trained, myself, many years ago as a young minister, we didn't get beat down, but we were encouraged, because I'm dealing with crazy and foolishness now, because the devil don't like what I have in me. I have the truth, and nobody's going to make a fool out of me, for lack of a better way to put it. And so you got what you got, and so truth will support truth. Scripture will support scripture. So that's why he was saying to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so this is the truth when it is rightly divided. And so religion, as like it did before and it's doing today, religion is persecuting the truth. So we know that the truth is in Jesus. So we have his word, like he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And he was saying, if you continue in my disciples, then are you, if you continue in my word, in St. John the 8th chapter, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the truth makes you free of error. The truth makes you free, and so it doesn't matter. I'm not going to go back on what I have been taught. So some things you hear, and you know it's not according to the scriptures, but people teach. People can't teach what they haven't been taught. They won't teach what they haven't been taught. And so this is a humble way. You got to humble ourselves. Like Peter said, yea, all of you be subject, you know, one to another, be clothed with humility. And he says, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. And he was saying, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And he went on to say, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And so the only way we're going to do that, we say, sometimes people say, resist the devil and he'll flee. But no, there's another part that goes to that. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee. So that is the order. So we have to be subject one to another, because we're partakers of the sufferings of Christ. And so that's why he was saying that we have to, as Christ has suffered in the flesh, Peter says in one of his letters, arm yourselves with the same mind. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So we got to realize who we are. That's why we're taught the word, so we'll know how to fight. And that's what Paul was talking about in the 6th chapter of Ephesians. Be strong in the Lord and in the power. Finally, my brother, in Ephesians 6 and 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So you can't stand, you can't withstand if you don't have on the armor, because we are in spiritual warfare. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6 and 12. That's what he was saying. So, and then he goes on, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. So we can't just be selfish. So we have to pray for God's people everywhere. So he goes on, at this particular time when he was writing this letter, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so that's what's not happening too many times in this day in which we live. People don't have the backbone. They don't have the fortitude. They don't have the wherewithal. They won't trust in being undergirded by God, that he got your back. It's like he said, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. That means exactly what it says. The church has binding and loosing power. So just like the disciples, there was so much going on. And after Jesus rose from the dead, he let them know about what John did and the ministry of John the Baptist, and how John the Baptist was he was the forerunner. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight in the desert a highway for our God, you know, make his path straight. And then so he is the one. So that's what he was saying. They were similar together. Jesus was on the earth 40 days, showing himself by many infallible proofs. This is after he rose from the dead, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he ye have heard of me. So what is the promise of the Father? He was talking about that in the 14th, 15th, 16th chapter of St. John, telling them things that never had happened before. That, you know, nobody had ever heard the Comforter. If I don't go away, the Comforter won't come. And I go away, I'm going to send him. He's the Spirit of Truth. He's going to abide with you forever. He's, you know, he's going to speak of me. He's going to testify of me. No one have ever heard of that before because it never had happened. So they felt the way that they did, and their understanding was not open until the 24th chapter of Luke, which is the writer here, the same writer that wrote the Acts of the Apostles, as I'm reading here. So he's saying, wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, here ye have heard of me, John truly baptized with water. Ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And so he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the othermost parts of the earth. And so that's what people need. And that is why I ask even now, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? That's important. You can't have church without the Spirit. He is the Spirit of the church. He is the Spirit of the house. We are the house. Our body is the temple of God. He said, I'll walk in them, dwell in them. I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. So that's what is so very important. So they knew after he got up from the dead, like, this is the one that Moses and the prophets and the psalmist did write about that should come. This is the Christ. This is the anointed one. This is the one that they preached about. They didn't preach. They didn't have the Gospels, as I said on last time. They preached them out of the law of Moses. He was the great lawgiver. They preached him out of the prophets, and they preach the Son of God, the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, out of the prophet, the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. And so they knew, like, this is him. So this is what's so important. We must have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so you got to be taught. So even like it's the way that it goes. Even the Israelites, when he was talking about the law, teach to your sons, your sons' sons. Like I mentioned on before, Apostle Paul was telling Timothy, things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. So truth is passed on down. It's the same truth. It is the present truth. The present truth is not going to help after the rapture of the church. You can't go tell somebody you want to get baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. It's going to be too late because the Holy Ghost is going to be gone. The church is going to be gone. There's going to be tribulation like never before. The wrath of God is going to be poured out. You're not hearing people talk about that. That's what he was talking about initially when the gospel of the kingdom, when he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, when he was writing, saying God is able to, of these stones, to raise up children under Abraham in the book of Matthew and the book of Luke. And he's not talking about no stones, but he's talking about the condition of the heart. As I say, sometimes I was a stone. I was a rock. I wonder whose place did I take? That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about no rocks going to immediately cry out. The rock is symbolizing the condition of the heart. That's what they harden their heart. In the 95th Psalm, he was talking about, as in a provocation, the day of temptation of the wilderness. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. That's symbolizing having a stony heart. Ezekiel 36 and 26 is going to take out of the stony heart Israel. He's going to give them a heart of flesh. And there's a couple of places in the book of Ezekiel where he's talking about that. So you don't want to have a hard heart. You don't want to have an evil heart of unbelief. So we come to this point. So as we say, our long-standing subject, the Godhead, I'm a Godhead man, I'm a oneness man, I understand the oneness. You can't. The oneness has to be revealed to you. And that's what Apostle Paul didn't understand at the very first, but he got it. He on the revelation, just like God said in the book of Isaiah, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to swear to God. But and he got the revelation of it. And he wrote to the church, the Philippian church, every knee is going to bow at the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow, and things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So you got to understand, he is the Father. He is the Son. He is the Holy Ghost. He is the self-same one. There is only one. He can be whatever he wants to be and never cease to be who he is. He didn't stop being God. He left the throne, but he was still there. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He was God and man. He's human and divine. He's everywhere. Here, now, there, God. He can leave you, come to you, ain't gone nowhere. He's everywhere. He goes with us. He's with me right now. He'll meet me when I go somewhere. Go with me when I go somewhere and meet me when I get there. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And he's omnipotent. He has all power. He can never be confined. When he gets done being what he wants to be, he goes back to being what he always was and what he never ceased to be. He's always God. And so this is what we don't, the natural man receive not the things, 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receive, that's the unregenerated man, receive not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So you got Holy Ghost has to reveal unto you who the Jesus is, who the Master is, who the anointed Messiah is. He is the Christ. He is the anointed one. And so you got to be taught. You got to get in the church triumphant, and that is repenting, like Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And at that time, the promises unto you, Jews, to your children, to all that are far off, that's the Gentiles, that's everybody, all the nations, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So this is what today, wake up. Time is short. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. So this is in the 13th chapter of Romans 13:11. So he's talking about initially, our salvation is nearer than when we believe. It was dark back then. It is sure enough dark now. I remember those that taught me, the evangelist that gave the altar call on the Wednesday night that I got saved, August 11, 1976. She used to say, this is a dark day. She died in 1997. It is really dark now. Peter says that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so this is what we want to talk about today, that time is short. We've been talking about end time signs. All the violence is going on. So there are signs in the heavens. Just fearful signs. People are afraid. I mean, the earth is not going to be destroyed. God made a covenant while the earth remained. Seed time and harvest and summer and winter and cold and heat and day and night shall not cease. And that's what he said in the book of Genesis. And so also he was saying that he put his bow in the sky. He's never going to destroy the earth by water anymore. But things happen, and some people probably thought that when these hurricanes and things happen, tsunamis, there's so much going on in the atmosphere, and God is definitely, we need to see the handwriting on the wall if you don't know the Lord, and if you know the Lord, realize that these signs that we've been talking about here for this part 22 of 22 weeks, we have been talking about the end time signs and violence and at the top of the list, and things that happened in the days of Lot, things that happened in the days of Noah. So it's just wickedness, so much violence. People are just angry. People are wanting to take out everybody, other people, many as they can, and along with their own self. And then some people don't want to die, really. then some people want to die by suicide. They want somebody to take them out. But it's just the devil getting people's mind. Like it was said, if the devil gets your mind, he will possess you, and you'll do what he says. So we have to realize what time it is. And so people are just caught up. Everything that you see is temporal. I don't care what it is. Everything that you see is temporal or temporary, as we say. But the things that you don't, Paul was saying, don't look at those things you see. Things that you see are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal, he says, as he wrote to the church, the Corinthian church, in the second book of the Corinthian church. And so what we want to key in on today is continuation of the signs about the time being short. So people are doing things, and it's just so much that is going on. So he goes on here, as he say, oh, no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth one another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. There be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Remember when they asked Jesus, what is in 22nd chapter of Matthew, what is the first and great commandment? And he went on to let them know, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And he went on to say, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. So if you love God like you should, then you're going to love your neighbor like you should, and you're not going to do anything to anyone else that you wouldn't want to be done to yourself. And so it's the truth. I mean, it's so simple, but yet it's so hard for some people. So he goes on to say, love is the fulfilling of the law. So he didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law. So that's what he was saying. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, in Romans 8 chapter. You know, and he goes on to say about the law, what it did, what it couldn't do, it was weak through the flesh. So he goes on, he said, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So this is what happened. The righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. If Jesus done it, he knew he was made sin. He knew no sin. He had the victory, and so we can too, having the Holy Ghost. So judgment must begin at the house of God, Peter says. So judgment begin on us. He says, what shall the end of those be that obey not the gospel of God? And he says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? So he's not saying we're barely making it. We're just going to have our difficulties. So we're being judged right now. That's why we can be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So we want to keep our lamps trimmed and burning, search our own heart, be right, forgive, don't have any ought against anybody, love God, keep his commandments, be clean, keep yourself clean. Like Paul said, 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest by any means, he said, I preach to others, and I myself should be a castaway. So we're looking at our own self, we're judging our own self. And so sometimes, that's why James said, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Sometimes the less you say, the better off you'll be, because people run off with what they heard you say was none of their business in the first place. So he said, she said, people eavesdropping and running off with the cow by the tail and snitching on people. And that's, it just keeps things going, where if people mind their own business, then we would be better off. So we should be see somebody has a need or whatever, but we should be more apt and more willing to pray for people. But I tell you what some people do. They want to be go around like they got to put their hands on you. If I put my hands on them, I want to lay my hand. No, what you need to do is to call their name out before the Lord. You know, the Lord hears the prayer of the right. His eyes are over the righteous, the scripture says, and his ears are open to their prayer. So you can't touch everybody. And I mean, touching, ain't no such thing as touching and agreeing. In the 18th chapter of Matthew, that is talking about, that's the church government is what that is. You don't need nobody to agree with you in prayer. That is church government. But what we need to agree with the word. We need to believe the word. You don't want to believe God with me, for me? You don't have to. I believe God by myself. I can do that. I mean, all of us. That's what Paul said. Angel of God stood by me. He says, sirs, I believe God. When he was letting them know ain't nobody going to be hurt on that ship. They're not going to lose anybody. They're going to lose the ship. They got to cast out things that are in that ship, but no one's life is going to be lost. And he said, I believe God. So in other words, you need to listen to what I'm telling you. What God told me, God cannot lie. He swear by no greater. He swear by himself. When he made promise to Abraham, he could swear by no greater. He swear by himself. Abraham, he didn't stagger at the promises of God. How are you going to do that through unbelief? But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Knowing that he said it, he was able to perform that which he said that he was going to do. God is not a man that he should lie. He watches over his word to perform it. So this is why he says, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. Apostle Paul says in Romans 13:11, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. So he's talking about when we initially came in the church, and we believe the gospel of the grace of God that he was talking about. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in what? The gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So this is what he's talking about. This is the book of justification. The book talking about how we're going to be glorified and how God predestinated us and called and justified us and glorified us. He loves us so much. Nobody can separate us from the love of God. That scripture, so many people run off with that scripture. You know, what shall separate us from the love of God? They name it out all these things, but it's two key passages. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he names out all the things, and at the end he says, no angel, principality, things present, things to come shall be able to separate us from the love of God is the key phrase, from the love of God. So in other words, you can't stop God from loving me, is what he's saying. These things are not going to separate us from the love of God in Christ, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's not going to stop loving us, whether you go from a mansion to living in a tent. He ain't going to stop loving you. The onus is not on us. The onus is on God. So we are not defeated. If we walk with the Lord, he is going to take care of us. His promises are yea and amen. So in these last and evil days, and so he said, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So remember 1 John 2:15, when he was saying, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Then he went on to say, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, they are not of the Father, but of the world. The world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So what are people doing? This is what he's talking about here. You know, they're drunk on things. you know, wanting this, strife, envying, looking at what other people have, drunk on things. People keep, they act like you ain't nothing to pray for but a car and a house. I mean, I've been hearing this stuff for over 40 years. I mean, you don't need even to be in church to be saved, to get a house or to get a car. If you got money, you can get whatever you want. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, people are just stuck on stuff and things. We can't beat, like somebody said, one of our late elder evangelists, pastors, you can't beat the world. We can't beat the world when it comes to money because they got it. So that's what we go off all right. You know, the love of money, that's what Paul was telling Timothy, is for the love of money. 1 Timothy 6 and 10, he says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. He said, but thou, man of God, flee these things. He told him what to do. So you got to be right and call on the Lord with a pure heart. And so we got to watch ourselves. So people are just getting... So we have to pay attention, like I was saying. And, I mean, some simple things that the Lord said, watch and pray. And so what do you do? Who you got to watch more than anything? Really, you got to watch yourself. I mean, sometimes too many times we're looking at other folk. It's like he said, take the beam out of your own eye. Then you can see clear to take the mote out of your brother's. So we watch our own heart and keep our own heart clean. Then we can help somebody. And so don't try to force yourself on somebody. But we become friends with people, then you can be an influence on them to help them. You got to be wise. So you got to be wise even to win souls, even when a person can see, can discern that you care, then they will listen to you. We just can't go up to nobody rebuking them and talking down to them. And, I mean, some of the stuff people do, they ain't showing no mercy. I mean, it's the craziest stuff I ever seen. They didn't do us like that. We got taught, and we didn't get caught out in the open and just crazy, arrogant stuff. That never happened. So we were encouraged. We were admonished. Now, today, I'm fighting devils that I never fought. And so, I'm ready. I'm not intimidated. I don't care who it is because I know what the word of God says. And this is what we have to do. Watch yourself and pray. So you got to have a spirit of prayer. Be instant, he said, in prayer. You got to talk to God all the time. Have a relationship with God, like they used to tell us. When you pray to God, you're talking to him. When you're reading his word, he's talking to you. So you just got to have that open conversation. Ask God to direct you. Be prayerful. If, like this used to say, somebody said, if you hold in his hand, you can't go wrong. It's impossible to sin if you're and holding God's hand at the same time. So we take heed to the things that we hear. That's what the writer was saying about back in the Old Testament. Take heed. And so we can't go wrong if we keep our heart open to God. I don't care if you blur out and say something that you shouldn't have, but I'm talking about committing sin. He that committeth sin is of the devil. So he's talking about on a continual basis, practicing sin. You know, this purpose of the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. So we got to understand and believe that time is so short. And so many people, they're just getting messed up. And so we got power. I don't care. And you can look somebody, when I did prison ministry, I did women's prison ministry. I did prison ministry for 20 years. 18 of the 20 years was women's prison ministry. So you can talk. You don't have to be looking all up in the air. I don't like nobody. It's different if you're looking for somebody or whatever. You're in a public place or whatever. You can't. Some people can't. They don't make eye contact when they talk to people. When you talk to somebody, you need to make eye contact. What is wrong with that? So liars, that's what they did. They couldn't look at you because they knew they was lying. You know, but we should be straightforward. And so you can have the victory. You're not blind. You're not crazy. You're not bionic. We can see. And so people want to, sometimes people blame stuff on, oh, I seen a nice looking lady. Brother's got a problem. No, you speak for your own crazy self. Everybody don't have a problem. Like like we used to say, like, you can give somebody a compliment. That don't mean you're lusting. So you got people need to talk for their own self. Don't speak for me. I can blow my own horn. I can talk for myself. So that's why we got to, you know, we got to, our first project is our own self. Take care of yourself. Bring your body under subjection. Take care of your own self. Don't speak to somebody else talking about what somebody else wants. No, you take care of yourself. So he goes on here in Corinthians. He's encouraging the church here and talking about people concerning the things you wrote unto me. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. So you got to understand what he's saying. So you play with fire, you're going to get burned. In the book of Proverbs, you can't take fire in your bosom and not be burned. So you have to watch your own heart. So nevertheless, then he goes on to avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife. Let every woman her own husband. So what is he talking about? Two people that are not married. And I've said it in times past on this particular platform about adultery. If a man is and a man and a woman is married, and if the man commit adultery with another woman, then he committed adultery against, first of all, it's against God, but it's against his own wife. Then if the woman has a husband, he committed adultery with another man's wife. Then if the woman wasn't married, he committed adultery. He fornicated with another woman. And he committed adultery against his wife. And then if the wife is married to her husband, she could have committed adultery against her husband. And if she's with a man that's not married, then the man committed fornication, and she committed adultery against her own husband. So, I mean, every situation. So then if the two people are not married, what Paul is talking about here, they're sinning against their own body, actually, because he's saying every sin you commit, that you're committing, if you commit fornication, you sinneth against your own body. So that's what he was saying here. What know ye not, that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? So he's making a point. For two saith he shall be one flesh. So the marriage covenant, you're one. What makes two people one is the sex act. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So he says, this is the only sin, he says, these two short words in this verse of 1 Corinthians 6 and 18, flee fornication, period. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, semicolon. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So you got to be careful. So he's saying here, he's encouraging the people of God because of the time that is short. So he's let the husband render unto the wife, do benevolence, likewise the wife unto her husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. Likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one to another, except it be with consent, for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. Come together again, he's talking about in the sex act, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission, not of commandment. I would that all men, or even as I myself, remember that this is this, what he's saying. So, but every man hath his proper gift, one after this manner, another after that. So in other words, if you just had yourself, you'd have to just deal with yourself. That's a gift to be able to do that. Because some people think, well, if I had a husband, well, if I had a wife, you know, a man, if he had a wife, he'd be okay, the sister. If I had a husband, I'd be okay. No, you'd be okay when you be content with yourself. I mean, the devil don't care if you're married. I've said that, and I say it again. So in other words, you got to be satisfied with one another. You're going to be dealing with each other. You got to be when you are married, you got to consider everything that you do, your decisions and all that. You got to consider your spouse. If you're a man, you got to consider your wife. If you're a wife, you got to consider your husband. But if you're single, you don't have to consider nobody but yourself. And I'm saying, I know what I'm talking about. I was married for 39 years, from 1972 to 2011. My wife passed away in 2011. So at this point, you know, it's good if you have to have the right two people, the right two people to be together, two saved people be together. So that would be nice. But in the meantime, I'm content. So I'm not going to be crying, beating myself up. Yeah, it's a different life when you lost your spouse passed away, all your children are grown. You have a different life. But you get ready to do something, you don't have to consult with nobody, but you can do, you want to go somewhere or go out of town or whatever, you can go. You don't have a wife to tell if you're by yourself, or a husband to tell. You just let whoever, your relatives or your adult children or your church know that you're gone, but you don't have to. So the whole point is you don't have to make a decision. Even when I moved from one state to another, I didn't have to make a decision on the move. I just had to be prayerful and let the Lord direct my steps, because it was my choice, because I don't have a spouse at this time. So, I mean, it's not hard. So this is what he was saying. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it's good for them if they abide even as I. This is St. Paul talking here. We have to get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, the proverbial writer says, and all that getting, get understanding. So this is the last days. We got to be careful what we do. Be careful who we hang around. You know, you got to be wise. They can. So he goes on here that it's good if they cannot. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows or widowers, the same thing. It's good for them if they abide even as I. So in other words, he's by himself, Apostle Paul. But they cannot contain. Let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. So he's talking about burning in your own lust. Unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. Let not the husband put away his wife. The rest I speak, I, not the Lord. If any man, brother, hath a wife that believe not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. Or the woman which hath a husband that believe not, he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. So he's talking about people get saved, and they've been married, and then one person gets saved, either the husband or the wife, and the other person don't want to be in the church. So those, I know of cases like that happen. One particular brother, his wife turned cold on him, and she ended up leaving him, and they got divorced. So she didn't. So that wasn't the end of the world. He chose to live for God. She didn't want it. So that's the way that happens in some cases, men and women. It happens. So he goes on here. One which hath an husband that believe not, he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. So the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they're holy. So in other words, marriage is honorable and all, like the Hebrew writer said, in the bed undefiled, but adulterers and whoremongers God will judge. So the whole point is they are lawfully married. And so one person don't want to get in the church, that you know, you just have to deal with it. And I know, like, too many cases. And I know an older sister, she's gone on to be with the Lord now. Her husband, they were together for a long time. He never got saved. He used to bring her to church, drop her off. So I knew him personally, both of them. So he said, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. So he's talking about a brother or a sister who's not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us unto peace. What knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, So let him walk, and so I ordain in all churches. If any man called, being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. If any called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. So in other words, we have to understand biblical terminology. The uncircumcised is actually the circumcised is the Jews. The uncircumcision in the book of Philippians is any other nation, Gentiles or other nation. So he says, circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherewith he is called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. And likewise, also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called then abide with God. And he goes on to talk about the perversions and everything. So, conversion, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that have obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, it is good for the present distress. I say that is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loose. Art thou loose from a wife? Seek not a wife. And if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. So in other words, it's, you know, some people it's hard enough for them struggling with their own selves, let alone with a spouse. Everybody cannot deal with it. And people don't know what people went through when they were married. It's not you, because you have to consider your family. So we had 5 sons we raised. Everybody has grown, have grandchildren. She passed away, my wife, in 2011 after 39 and a half years of marriage. So people don't know what I went through in marriage. So they that weep as though they weep not, he says. They that rejoice as though they rejoice not. They that buy as though they possess not. They that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would not have you. So he was saying about time being short here. I don't know. I must have. Yeah. So, but the whole point is that sometimes people don't realize what time it is. Oh yeah, I hadn't got to that. Yeah, but anyway, he was saying, nevertheless, you have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that they that have wives be as though they have none. So this is what I was saying. Time is short. And a lot of people don't believe that. They don't believe it. And so it remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. So in other words, you got to save yourself. They that weep as though they wept not. They that rejoice as though they rejoice not. They that buy as though they possess not. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. So that's my whole point in this particular session. Apostle Paul wrote many centuries ago to the Corinthian church, and he said time was short, and then when he wrote, it is sure enough short now. So we have to really, this is AD 59 when he wrote this letter to the Corinthian church. So we have to really believe, understand what's going on. So God has this put on record. So this is the only book that is relevant. That is the Holy Writ, the Bible, is relevant today, in the past, in the present, in the future. Past tense, it's present tense, and it's future tense. So we have to believe the word of the Lord. So people wondering what's going on. That, you know, like right now, so much violence going on. People are just doing, in too many cases, whatever comes to their mind. That's what that sounds like the days of Noah to me. It says thoughts and imaginations of their hearts, the writer says, was only evil continually. I believe it was in the sixth chapter of Genesis. That's why God told Noah to make that ark of gopher wood. He was going to destroy man because he repented him that he had made man. So he destroyed the earth with water. So that's why he was saying he gave us the signs, as it was in the days of Noah, the wickedness, the all of the sin that's going, so much going on in the world, so much that our eyes don't see. And see, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, the writer says, but they that deal truly are his delight. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. I mean, that's in the book of Proverbs, both of those two scriptures that I just quoted. And so we have to realize what time it is. And passing more laws, no devil, no wicked person, no criminal ever cared about a law. That's why they're not a law-abiding citizens. They are breakers of the law. They're criminals. They don't care about the law. More laws you have, so what? They don't care. They don't care about the laws. And so even people don't care about God's laws. God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. A fornicator is a person who can be having sex between two people that are not married to each other. Be it if it can be a man or a woman, they're not married to each other. They're not married to nobody. They're fornicators. And so, and then two men doing which is unseemly to each other, they are fornicators. That homosexuality is in adultery has levels. So fornication is a branch. That's the word. Fornication is a branch of adultery. So they're fornicators. God hates fornication. I mean, he said, lest there be any profane person as Esau, a fornicator or a profane person in the book of Hebrews. So he puts that in the same class. So two men together with each other, you're a fornicator. Two women with each other, call yourself loving each other or whatever, you are a fornicator. You said every man to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every woman have her own husband. Not two men together or not two women together. That is not pleasing in God's sight. That's why he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So we just thank God for his word. His word is going to live, Peter said, and abide forever. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry, TRUTHMINISTRY, 5525 @att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So we know that time is short, like I was saying, that knowing that the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. So this is the ought that he had against the church in the third chapter of Revelation. You know, they need to anoint their eyes with eye salve that they may see, and they need to repent. And I'm standing at the door knocking. He said, any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. But the message is, repent. So as I said, so I hope this word has been enlightening on today to make you know that we're in the last.